We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, and looks like we are good. Welcome everyone to another installment of the Orange and Blue View. I am one of your co-hosts, Ron White. On that side of me is my partner in crime. You know him. You love him as Dylan Von Arts. Dylan, how are you doing today on this nice Saturday, my man?
I'm doing great. Just excited to talk Broncos football. This is my favorite night of the week.
Yeah, it's always good to be here with you guys, be here with you, Dylan, and discuss our favorite topic. The Denver Broncos, and since the last time we spoke, Dylan, there's been quite a few things that have come up as far as news bits, but we, of course, we'll get into that here shortly, but we want to get into the chat. Let's see who is joining us tonight. We got Todd Olsendorf coming in. Thank you, Todd, for coming, my man. He says, good evening, Broncos country, Dylan and Ron. Good evening to you as well, sir. And hopefully you are doing well on this nice Saturday. All right. Let's see who else we have coming in the chat. Got DTR coming in. Says, evening, Ron and Dylan. Our offensive line needs to protect our new QB, and the defensive line needs to bring the pressure on the opposing team's QB and ball carriers. Yes, DTR, again, with some of our players, as you see the topic for the stream tonight, we'll get into that because some of the players that we do have on our list tie into that on both sides, offensive and defensive line. So we'll get into that here shortly. Let's see who else we have. And again, thank you, DTR, for coming in. You know, we always appreciate you, my man. All righty. Let's see who else we have joining the convo today. We got String Guy coming in. Good evening, all. Good evening to you, too, sir. Thank you for joining us, as always. All right. So before we get into some of the players that need to step up, I want to get your thoughts, Dylan. So we did discover that, you know, the Broncos did sign Josh Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And it was reported, I think, around the time of the signing that he would get up to $14 million. So I think some of the details of that contract were a little bit unclear. And we know that may have caused pause for some of the Broncos fans looking at that amount. But the new details have emerged on what the specifics are to the contract. And here are some details. So it's essentially a two-year deal, $9 million, $4.25 million fully guaranteed, $5 million in incentives. And the breakdown of that is in 2024, it's a $2 million signing bonus that's fully guaranteed with a little over $2 million in a base salary and a little over $250,000 per game roster bonus. And in 2025, it's around a $4 million base salary and $510,000 per game roster bonus as well. So I guess given now that we know kind of how the contract is structured, what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you see the Josh Reynolds signing kind of factoring in long term as it relates to this receiving group?
Yeah, the addition in general, I'm a big fan of. It really bolsters the room. And honestly, when you look across the offense now, it seems like a lot of it is pretty set. And I think Josh Reynolds mostly solidifies a wide receiver room. I think it might preclude the Broncos from taking a wide receiver in the early rounds, like, you know, 1-3 perhaps. But unless there's a guy that they really fall in love with and they happen to fall right in their laps. But yeah, and the money's good too. I figured it wouldn't be like the full, you know, $14 million contracts. They never are. It's always kind of like with Randy Gregory a couple of years ago. Huge contract, but it was essentially a 2-year deal. And yeah, this is pretty pretty easy money to work with, especially considering he's going to be either wide receiver 2 or 3. Kind of just depends on how Peyton wants to use him in tandem with Mims and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I look at it essentially a 1-year deal. The way how this contract is structured, a lot of it is obviously on the front end, so you'll see a lot of that money kind of front this year. And then, you know, if it doesn't pan out, you know, it kind of gives the Broncos a little bit of leeway to move on from him in the 2025 season. And I'm like you, where I like the signing. You know, after the signing happened, I went back, because I am familiar with his game. I did see, obviously, when he was with the Rams, and I did see him last year in Detroit. He's a very good, solid wide receiver. I know he had those drops. I don't know. I think it was either one in the division round or in the championship game. But I would say overall, a very solid receiver. He's a great blocker. And I think that was an attribute that Peyton was looking for. And so I think it's going to be good. The way I see the room as far as the depth chart, I would say, yep, Sutton definitely is your one. I would pencil in Reynolds as 2. And then Mims would be 3. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the signing. And you're right, Dylan, that it doesn't make the Broncos have to chase after a wide receiver in those premium rounds. Because, you know, that's what we were thinking, that, hey, the Broncos may trade back, you know, depending on who's there at pick 12. You know, they can go back into the 20s. And we were speculating maybe, you know, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr. Those were some names that we had in mind. But, again, given the signing, that's probably not going to happen. So. All right. So let's see who else we have in the chat here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yep, Todd back in here. Thank you, Todd. He says, offense and defense were terrible last year, and the pass rush was anemic. Yeah. So, I guess that this is a good point, Todd. And I don't want to say I would say the offense took some steps forward. Like, you saw what Peyton was trying to do. I think part of the reason why the offense was bad was because of the trigger man, Russell Wilson. that was a big reason why, you know, the offense was the way it was. And also with that, they couldn't get the run game going. Again, you did see plays here and there where, you know, off of play action, things would work. Kind of saw that near the beginning of the season, but you know, we saw a lot of Russ scrambles, running into sacks, not finding these open receivers, and that attributed a lot to the offense being bad. The defense, yeah, you're right on that. As far as how it started, I think we all knew how the defense was started. They were on pace to be, you know, the worst, if not the worst ever. And then, you know, they turned it around a bit, but we still saw those deficiencies on defense because, as with anything, guys, you know, your luck runs out. You know, they had that turnover streak. Once the turnover luck runs out, then, you know, you get back to your ways. And then the pass rush. I think we all know the pass rush. The group is good, solid. But, again, and we're hoping in the draft here, Dylan, that the Broncos can prioritize an elite pass rusher that opposing teams have to account for. But yeah, Todd, I would say all in all, I do agree mostly with what you're saying here.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of growing pains, and we're going to see a lot of that this coming year with a new quarterback and more pieces to Peyton's team, not leftovers from past regimes. Yeah, as you say, the pass rush was very anemic. And once that lucky turnover streak ended, it back to the same old, like we saw in the first 3 weeks. Especially that Lions game really sticks out late in the season. They need to find someone on the outside to get pressure on the quarterback. Not like, I know sacks are like the big, you know, the big marquee numbers, but just get some pressure, man. Push the quarterback off their spot and bat a ball down once in a while, you know. But yeah, this hopefully the Broncos could get a couple things figured out on the defensive line in general.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And speaking of getting things figured out, you know, of course we all get older, and so we have to make sure we get ourselves figured out, making sure that health is in top tier condition. So the older we get, guys, the more seriously, you know, we have to take care of your health and your nutrition. So enter AG1. No matter what you do for a living, you can be at the desk, at a chair like I am all day, or walking around, but it can become too convenient to rely on your coffee, your caffeine, your Red Bull for that extra energy and focus. But that's not great for your body, especially blood pressure. There's always the dreaded crash at the end. So with our sponsor AG1, I get sustained energy, so I'm not reaching for that extra cup of Joe in the afternoon. And sometimes I'll have about 2 or 3 cups just to get me through the day. So on top of that, I can't stand swallowing those big pills. And if you didn't know, it's crucially important to take care of your gut health when it comes to probiotics. AG1 kills all three of those birds with one stone, and it does so in an impressive manner. Focus, energy, nutrition, and improved gut health all in one delicious smoothie. AG1 is next level.
AG1 is a supplement I trust to support my whole body health and help me feel my best. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and five free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/huddle. That's drinkag1.com/huddle. Check it out, folks.
All righty. Let's see who else we have in the chat here.
Ooh, I see our guy here. Oh, no. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we got Kevin Gray coming in. Thank you, Kevin. Says, evening, Ron, Dylan, and Scott. Well, no Scott tonight, but thank you, Kevin. Big Mile High salute to Broncos country, Denver Broncos for life, MHH for life. Welcome. Thank you, Kevin, for coming in, my man. We appreciate you. And if you got a question, please get it in the chat.
Thank you, Kevin. And here we go here with Michael.
Mr. Ronquillo coming in. Thank you, sir, for showing us support episode in, episode out. I think you're on all of them. So, again, we appreciate your continued support, my guy. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan on Orange and Blue View. Go Broncos. Thank you, Mike, as always. Hopefully you're having a nice Saturday, my man. We appreciate you.
Always good to see you, Michael.
All right. And then we got the man Gary Palmer coming in with a $4.99 super chat. Thank you, Gary. Says, happy Saturday, Ron and Dylan. Well, happy Saturday to you as well, Gary. Hopefully you are doing well, having a nice day also. All right, guys. So we want to start with, and I'll start with you, Dylan, kind of getting into our lead topic here. And it's referring to players we think need to take that next step in the upcoming 2024 season. So as we were just alluding to, you know, there were some players that stepped up. Obviously, we saw Quinn Meinerz step up in a big way. Courtland Sutton step up in a big way. But there are other players that they can use some improvement and they need to take that next step. So with that, Dylan, I'll let you kick it off. Who is first on your list as it pertains to a player taking that next step forward?
Yeah, so we'll start with Baron Browning. Like we just mentioned just a bit ago, the pass rush has been just anemic, as Todd put it. And there's no one getting consistent pressure on the quarterback. And the guy who I just keep expecting year in year to make that jump is Baron Browning. He's shown a lot of flashes, and I think he could be a really good edge rusher in this league. It's just I think injuries have hampered him quite a bit. And it's just sad to see, because sometimes you see him out there and he looks like Vaughn, and other times, you know, he's just not on the field. And he, especially with some of the dances I've seen him do, he tries to emulate Vaughn there a little bit. But this is a year, and kind of, I guess you could call it a crossroads, because it's his last year of his deal. And I could see Baron or even Jonathan Cooper somewhere that trade deadline, depending on where these guys are at. Then maybe the Broncos don't want to play the comp pick game. Maybe they're going to look for an early return, and they might get traded depending on how this thing all goes, especially if they're not living up to expectations. Like, let's get some younger guys in there if these guys aren't stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I've always had high hopes for Baron Browning. You know, watching him at Ohio State, coming out, he was a phenomenal player. And, you know, I always envisioned him as that inside linebacker. And again, he did excel there. But I know we all had our question marks when the decision was made to move him to edge, but he's been very good as an edge player. But to your point, yeah, the injuries have not made him available to play. And, you know, you wonder, hopefully he can stay healthy next year. And then you wonder if, you know, drafting an elite edge player can kind of help Baron Browning out. You're right. It's that youth movement. Now, I would say as far as between Jonathan Cooper, because I think Jonathan Cooper was a seventh round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know as far as the value, you know, trading and what you're going to get out of him. But I think Baron Browning may have a little bit more value. But again, it's not being available on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. But, you know, I'm curious to see with new talent coming in. And again, I'm not a fan of Drew Sanders moving to edge. With Drew Sanders now being moved to edge, how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's definitely a fascinating one. And again, I'm wishing him well. You know, he's a great player. Yeah. Hopefully he can help with these guys on defense for sure.
Yeah, I always forget too that the Browning and Cooper were teammates when we drafted them. Mm-hmm. Both out of Ohio State.
Of Ohio State, yep. Yeah. So yeah, mine is Mike McGlinchey. So according to PFF, number 69 for your Denver Broncos had 9 penalties, tied for 11th most in the NFL. 6 sacks allowed, tied for 15th most. 8 hits allowed, and 49 total pressures allowed last year. So for me, there are two areas where McGlinchey can grow, can take that next step. The first is obviously reducing the number of penalties. You know, we saw lots of false starts last year from number 69, you know, getting a few holding calls as well and just moving that Broncos offense back. So if he can clean that up. Also, we know what he can do as a run blocker. He's good in the run blocking. It's the pass pro that is a little bit concerning. So if he can hold up a little bit better in pass pro and a little bit longer, I think that'll help. And you saw there were a few games in last year where, you know, I think it was with Max Crosby and Will Anderson. I think the Raiders game and the Texans game stuck out the most where, you know, they were just giving it to him. They were giving it to McGlinchey. So if McGlinchey can kind of clean those things up to kind of help with the overall offensive line, I think that'll be a good step in the right direction for him and the team.
Yeah, McGlinchey was okay last season. He was injured a little bit, but we're so used to Garrett Bowles being the guy that kind of got all those holding calls, got beat. But now it's Mike McGlinchey, so, you know, it's never a bright spot, that offensive tackle for us, I guess. But yeah, like you mentioned, McGlinchey is very good in the run game. I actually like him there a lot, but it's that pass protection. And hopefully with if it's a rookie signal caller, this might still be the case, but Russell Wilson had that propensity to hold on to the ball for long periods mm-hmm. of time. So that definitely didn't help, but he also was letting guys through like a cowboy yeah. kicking through a saloon door or something. It was just, it kills me, but especially getting paid all that money. But yeah, if he can shore up his pass pro, hopefully maybe another year with Zach Strief, maybe that'll help him out some. And also, maybe if we could get that run game going some more, take some pressure off him once those pass reps do come in.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see who else we have. Oh, David Yonkin coming in. Thank you, David, for your support, my man. We appreciate it. He says, all the other teams will have a good draft, but the Broncos will have a mediocre one. I wonder what makes you say that, David. Again, I don't think it's going to be mediocre. I think, it really depends on, I guess how it starts off, Dylan, is going to kind of tell you a lot. Mm. And, you know, if they stay at 12, and depending on who that pick is at 12, I don't know how the rest of the draft is going to go. But, you know, again, let's say, I would say a successful draft, and you know George Payton loves, you know, more darts, try to get as many picks as possible. You know, if the guy isn't there at 12, trade back, pick up that second round pick, and hell, maybe even keep trading back a few times throughout the course of rounds. So I would say, again, more darts to kind of fill in the roster, fill in some depth. I don't think it's going to be mediocre. You know, with the teams at the front, obviously the top three, they're going to get their quarterbacks. I mean, you know, they had the bad season, and that's why they're up there. They're in position to get their quarterbacks. But it's really going to be dependent on, again, David, kind of how it starts off and what they do at quarterback. those are going to determine how this draft is. Again, I think quarterback will be addressed in the draft at some point. And again, I don't see it being mediocre. That's just me.
Yeah, I wonder if, because I saw earlier there was a lot of talk of the, you know, trade up to four or, you know, somewhere up there, and maybe he's referring to that. But I mean, if you go up to four and get your quarterback, I wouldn't call that mediocre either. I'm sure you're gonna miss some draft picks and a lot at that. But I mean, that's the optimism for the season, depending on who you like at quarterback. I'm not sure, but I don't know about mediocre. I think this is exciting. This is going to be where we really start to build up the team, and whether it's a trade up, a trade back, stay at 12, who knows? I think the intrigue going into the draft is actually very high, but we'll just have to see. It's Peyton and Peyton's second draft together.
Yeah, and you're right on the intrigue, because again, who knows what the Broncos, like, I would say it's a bit telling the positions that they did not address in free agency. So that may give you an inkling toward what they're looking to do with that first round pick. But yeah, it's still going to be intriguing, right? We could, you know, if they want to stay put at 12, and if a quarterback is there, you know, let's say McCarthy does fall, or like you said, if they move up, let's say McCarthy starts to slip a bit, and, you know, he's there around 8 or 9. You know, if they move up, obviously it wouldn't be too much of a cost. It would be to get into the top 5. I think that'll be intriguing, because, again, you're prioritizing getting your guy at quarterback. Again, you'll have to give up a little bit more, you know, in the draft and for the next few drafts. But, you know, if you get your guy, and again, that's why I am so encouraged with Sean Payton being our head coach, is it's more strategic, and he's doing it the right way of looking in the draft to get his guy so that he can groom him and that he can develop. But yeah, David, you know, we'll see. Again, I don't see it being mediocre. Again, that's just from my vantage point, but, you know, once they put pads on and hit the field, you know, it may be a different ball game, but we'll see. But thank you for coming in. And then we do see some comments here as it relates to what the Vikes will do. And yes, I know it's been speculated that the Minnesota Vikings may move into that top three because, you know, they're enamored with Drake May. And so, you know, that might be something that to consider for the Broncos. You know, I know Sean Payton called the GM for Arizona Cardinals at the at the meeting by name. So, you know, that could be a potential spot as well. But we'll see. I guess I just don't want it. It needs to be a draft day trade, though, Dylan. I don't want them going up into the top four tomorrow or, you know, in the next week because their guy may not be there. And again, I'm thinking the guy or guys that Sean Payton likes, the two that are within that top four, J.J. McCarthy and Drake May.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a trade until draft day, especially whether it's the Broncos or the Vikings, because we just don't know who's going to be there at four. Maybe Drake May is there, and that's who the Vikings want. I know there's a connection there with one of the McCowns as he coached him in high school, I believe. Or J.J. McCarthy. It's hard to say. But yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen until draft day, like you mentioned.
Yep. And again, David, thank you for coming in. I'm with that. Let's see. Who else is kind of perusing the chat, guys?
Let's see. We got some more stars here from our good friend Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence Rivera coming in. Says, thank you, Lawrence, for coming. He says, what up, guys? What do you think about Sanders saying they'll pull an Eli Manning if need be? What are your thoughts on that one, Dylan?
So I hadn't seen this yet, so I'm assuming this is Deion Sanders talking about Shatur. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not really sure where he fits right now in terms of next year's draft, because we're not even through with this one. But I know he's going to be a first round pick probably. I'm not sure what range yet, but you know, quarterback's the hot ticket, and he is Deion Sanders' son, so we'll see what happens there. Who knows who's even gonna be there in the top of the draft, but kind of weird to be putting that out there now. I feel like,
yeah, I mean, and yeah, I mean, he still has a, I mean, granted, he did play okay this year, but I want to see what he looks like next year, Shador. Mm-hmm. I want to see, you know, the growth and progression. Because, yeah, I think given what the QB class will look like next year, he's going to go first round, probably within that top 10. But it's just a matter of, you know, kind of how teams view him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, I think I'm more so focused, Lawrence, kind of on, you know, this draft, these quarterbacks here. Because, again, even if the Broncos can't get a May or a McCarthy, you know, Bo Nix is there, Penix, you know, they're even, I think they're going to be some pretty good, you know, prospects here, which Peyton can develop. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I just see it as Deion more so just talking, you know, trying to, you know, kind of get more spotlight there to, you know, Shador. I like what Shador did this year. Just a matter of, we'll see how the season happens for the Buffs and go from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you, Lawrence, for coming in. All righty. So let's get to the next player on your list that needs to step up. What do you have there, Dylan?
Yeah, my next player is Javonte Williams. And obviously not very high expectations for last year, especially tearing three different ligaments in his knee. I didn't even expect him to be back till maybe halfway through the season. So maybe he pushed it a little bit. Maybe he should have sat for a while. Like, you still saw some of that explosiveness, but he just wasn't breaking tackles like he usually does, which, like I mentioned, to be expected. No one expected you to even be out on the field. But with how the anemic the Broncos run game was last year, someone needs to step in that room, and it has to be Javonte. I don't see the Broncos replacing him in the draft, at least, you know, his that type of back, and then It just sucks because you don't know how he's going to be long term with that knee injury. I mean, we saw a similar thing happen with J.K. Dobbins, and I don't even know if he's on a team at the moment. He might.
He's still with the Ravens. I think he was ready or back on for contact. At least I think that's what I read the other day.
Yeah, you just hope that knee injury isn't like degenerative and it just kind of screws up the rest of his career, because he was an exciting player to watch and we were just waiting and waiting for him to pop. But unfortunately, the injury bug that's kind of hamstrung the Broncos these past couple of years claimed him, and hopefully that he can step up, because if not this year, I think Sean Payton will be looking to move off him for someone else.
Yeah, and that was, you know, he's my candidate or nomination for the team comeback player of the year. You know, if there was an award, you hit the nail on the head. You know, when he first started out in Denver, just those explosive runs he would pop off. And it was just a great thing to see. And what made it so fascinating was, you know, how he would have three and four defenders on him and he was just dragging and dragging them. I think it was that game against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I think he popped off. It was like a 20 plus yarder down. I think it was into the red zone. And I think he had like three or four defenders just dragging them like on the back. And I was like, yeah, that's the Devontae I know. But yeah, it was just hard to come by this year. But like just everything in the running game, you know, you mentioned there were a few plays where we saw a little bit of burst, but it wasn't taking off with those 9+, 10+ yard, you know, what we're used to seeing. And yeah, I hope that knee injury isn't, you know, a sign of things to come. You know, I would, you know, now kind of being, you know, even healthy now during this season, kind of having a year to kind of get his wings back under him. I hope he can kind of come back at least close to full form and try to make that work. But yeah, just the Broncos game, run game in general, Dylan, you're right. It was. We saw P. Ryan, you know, be more of just the pass catcher. Jaleel McLaughlin would come in and provide a smart every now and again, but it wasn't that consistent bruiser. And that's what Broncos need. So hopefully that can be something that they look into improving next year for sure. All righty. So that's a good one. So mine, Marvin Mims. And I put Marvin Mims here, guys, just because, you know, we will expect his role to be expanded with the departure of Jerry Jeudy. Because essentially, he's going to do what Jerry Jeudy was supposed to do. So last season, you know, Mims, I would say it was although he wasn't used as much in, you know, the pass plays, but he did have 32 total targets, 22 receptions, 377 receiving yards, and that one receiving touchdown. And so I guess I'm looking for him to take that next step. Again, it's going to be, again, the way I see it is him being that wide receiver three, and now entering year two, he can, you know, learn more. I know Sean Payton said he wants to use him more kind of within the fold of the offense, especially in that vertical passing game. So we'll see more. Hopefully we can see more of those plays. Also, you know, he'll have Courtland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, you know, Timmy P coming back from injury there to kind of mentor him as well. So I guess that's kind of where I want to see that step up, more of those plays. And again, I know it's not all on him. Obviously, Sean Payton kind of has to ingrain him more in the offense, but I want to see him take that level just as that vertical threat. Now, we know what he's going to do as a kick and punt return. And now with the new kickoff rules, that's even going to benefit him more. But yeah, I would like to see more of those deep shots to him, kind of use him in the screen game as well. Kind of growing into that Z receiver type role. Clean up those fumbles a bit, because I think he had 2 fumbles last year. So, you know, clean that. But I'm all encouraged for what he did last season, but I just kind of want to see him grow as that vertical threat.
Yeah, Sean Payton mentioned at the Combine, I believe it was, that now that Jerry's gone, that Mims is going to take over that role, and that's exciting for this offense. What we saw from Mims in that Washington Commanders game is what I want to see for like 90% of the year. Bombs, man. He's got that speed, and they just need to let him use it, especially if they get that single high coverage. It's over. It's a done deal. Just got to get the ball to him. Hopefully we'll see who's under center. That's going to matter a little bit. It's a quarterback dependent position, and we'll just see how he fits in this offense as the wide receiver 3. Whether I think he'll be switching from outside in the slot, I think he'll get moved around, and you know, we'll see. Probably see the dreaded jet sweep a couple times. Hasn't really worked for the Broncos in recent history, but you know, any way to get him touches is only going to benefit this offense going forward, no matter who's under center.
Yes, most definitely. All righty, let's go back to the chat and see who else we got popping in. We got Roy Osborne coming in. Thank you, Roy. Come in, my man. We appreciate you. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan. Please, no more Bo Nix talk. He's not the answer. So, Roy, I'm curious to know your rationale as to why you don't think Nix is the answer. Now, is Nix my favorite? No. But again, you have to look at prospects, their style of play, and the NFL teams and the offense personnel and the schemes and such that they're running. You kind of have to look at it in that context. And because again, that's how these teams are going to look at it when the combine and the pro days, you know, obviously they're looking to see, you know, how they throw, things like that. But, you know, the scouting process is year round. And that's where, you know, Sean Payton, and he's going to trust his scouts to kind of look at that film and do more of that thorough analysis. And again, you may not be the biggest fan, or, you may not think he's the answer, but all that matters is if Sean Payton thinks he's the answer. And, you know, I think, again, given how Bo Nix plays, from what we've seen at Oregon, and what Bo Nix has even said himself, you know, he can read coverages, he can do checks at the line of scrimmage, he can go through his progressions, he knows where the open receivers are. And that's in a Sean Payton offense. That's what you got to do. That's what you have to know. So, again, I don't think it's more about, you know, we don't think he's the answer. And, again, we can only tell, you know, if the Broncos draft, well, if he's drafted anywhere and kind of how he plays on the field. But I just think given what Sean Payton is looking for, you know, again, those attributes, as I just alluded to, Bo Nix fits his style of play and what he expects of his quarterback.
Well, joke's on you, Roy. You brought him up, so we're going to talk about him. yeah, you know, I like Nix. I think he could fit in this offense pretty well. Obviously, you know, we've us and other hosts have talked endlessly on, you know, what he's good at, what he's not good at, you know, the arm strength thing, his age, which I don't think it's more about like, oh, he's too old to draft. It's more like, oh, it took him a little longer to click, which, you know, it's hard to say what his ceiling will be, but it tends to be a little lower when it takes him longer to click. But we'll see. But who knows? Every prospect is different. And I think Nix has the athleticism. He has good enough arm. And like I've mentioned before, I like him. I don't love him. I prefer some other guys. But are they attainable? Who knows? We'll see what Sean Payton thinks. Teams typically have guys they like, you know, before the combine. They have an idea of like where they want them or where they would grade them. And after pro days and the combine, they're like, okay, we can kind of confirm, yeah, we have this guy as our number one, number two, number three, whatever. And we'll just have to see if Sean Payton loves him enough to take him at 12, or if he trades down, that means, you know, I like you, but I'm willing to, you know, pass on you for right now because I don't think you're a perfect fit. Or if there's a need that he thinks needs to be filled and Nix doesn't completely fit the profile of a quarterback that he wants. But I'm not going to say he's not the answer, because no one knows if any of these quarterbacks are the answer right now.
Right. I mean, Caleb Williams may not be the answer for Chicago. Jaden Daniels may not be the answer for the Commanders. Drake may not be the answer for New England if he ends up being the QB for New England, or, you know, if Minnesota comes in and tries to swoop him in. So, again, we don't know with these prospects. Again, they're only going by what they go by with every year, right? The film and how they do at the combine and the pro days and things like that. So, but we'll see. Again, I see what you're saying, Roy, in a way where, you know, Nix may not be your guy. I get that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's our head coach's call. But again, thank you, my man, for coming in. Then we got Keith coming in. Brugman says, Josh Reynolds' contract details tell me we can get a wideout. If Reynolds ends up on the practice squad, he takes very little to be on the roster. Keith, I don't think Josh Reynolds is going to be on the practice squad. With the contract, again, how it's structured and everything, given that I think they're going to, you know, Timmy P coming back off that injury, Reynolds is going to be your wideout too. Your wideout too is going to be Reynolds. But I'm with you that, yeah, it doesn't preclude the Broncos from drafting a wideout. Again, it's just not going to be in these premium rounds. So don't look for the Broncos to trade back, as I mentioned, and get an Xavier Worthy. Mm. Or trade back and get a Brian Thomas Jr. You know, they may look into that round 4 or 5 realm if a Luke McCaffrey's there, something like that, which I've seen a few mocks. I just put a mock on Twitter X today, so you guys check it out. Have some interesting comments on that one, which we can get to time if we get time. But yeah, again, it's just not in those premium rounds, Keith. I think that's what Dylan and I were saying, but. Yeah, later on in the draft, you know, if a receiver's there that Peyton like, sure, I'm pretty sure they can grab him, but it's not those premium rounds.
Yeah, unless they really fall in love with a guy, like I mentioned before, and they just happen to fall in their lap in round 2 or 3, depending on if they trade back and get a second round pick. They could certainly still take a guy. It just really depends on it's just not as like urgent of a need right now. It's more of a, I wouldn't say luxury, but it's definitely not a priority anymore. But like you mentioned, yeah, he won't be on the practice squad. He's going to be wide receiver too in this offense. And that's a good thing. He's a great blocker. He's really smooth with his routes, and he was a sneaky good weapon for Jared Goff with the Detroit Lions. I believe he had around 600 yards, and it was 8 to 10 touchdowns somewhere in there. And that's, and while the yardage is less than Judy, the touchdowns definitely isn't. So that's just a help immediately. And I think he's just got a good attitude for the locker room as well, especially being on a couple teams and having to fight his way up to finally get more reps.
Yeah, and can come in and, you know, with his experience, because he's what, I think he's, I don't know if he's at the 30 mark yet. If not, almost.
He's 29.
I think he's
either
29 or 39. Okay. So, again, you know, coming in, you know, and helping out, you know, Mims and some of these younger receivers like Jalen Virgil coming, you know. So it's a good signing overall. But again, Keith, thank you for coming in. We appreciate you, my guy. And then we got DTR. Oh, we got Phil. Before we get DTR, we saw your DTR, but we're going to get to Phil first. Phil McLaughlin coming in. Thank you, Phil. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan. Really hoping to see Javonte get back to his potential. Hashtag Buckham, hashtag MAG for life, hashtag Go Broncos. Yeah, Phil. And again, I don't know if you caught us several minutes ago because Javonte was on Dylan's list, but we're really, I think we're all hoping that he does. You know, him coming out of North Carolina and his first year in Denver, it was a sight to see. And even if he can get back to 80% of that, well, he can take 70 or 75% of that. You know, I think that'll really help this team overall. I mean, we know it'll help the run game. But just kind of we want to see that explosion from him again. Because again, he was brought in. He's been known to be that power back, that bruiser, that first, second, and sometimes third down back. And so if he can get back to what he once was, I think that'll help this team go a long way. But yeah, again, thank you, my man, for coming with your support. We appreciate it, as always, Phil.
Yeah, we want his explosion to come back, and we just need someone we know can punch it across that first down or the goal line with 1 to 3 yards to go, you know, and hopefully with a full off season to just focus on football and not rehab, that'll jumpstart him back to where he was, or even like you mentioned, 75 to 80% of where he was, because even a 75 or 80% of Javonte is still pretty damn good.
Yep. Sure is. Yeah, Phil, it's the only time will tell. We hope he can get back to where he was. And again, my man, thank you, Phil. You know, we always appreciate you coming in. Got DTR coming in with a $10 super. Thank you, DTR. He says, I might be the only one, but I think this team makes a big leap forward with the right QB and a solid defense. Yeah, DTR, again, we will see. Again, I think we're hoping, and I guess I can speak for all Broncos fans in saying that, hoping for that Houston Texans type of turnaround. It would be nice. You know, CJ Stroud coming in, taking the lead by storm. Will Anderson on defense. And I know we knew about some of those receivers like Nico Collins, but, you know, Stroud made everybody on that team better. You know, Nico Collins, and I think Schultz was on that team. And, you know, Tank Dell was something even before his injury. So, you know, I'm hoping for that. And like I said, that solid defense. But again, you're right on that key, those key words in that sentence saying with the right QB. Because it is imperative that the Broncos get that position right. That's the only way a quicker turnaround. Now, again, I do expect, you know, some growing pains. I mean, because, you know, the Texans weren't perfect. But again, you know, 10-7 season, winning the division. Won a playoff game, got bounced in the division round. But again, I would say that was a successful season. And again, if the Broncos can get that trigger man right, and hopefully within, you know, a 2 or 3 year time frame, kind of work out the kinks to get back the relevance with that solid defense, I think the team can be on something, Dylan. DTR, but thank you.
Yeah, that like the Texans, like you mentioned, they had some growing pains themselves. And the first game of the season, they played the Baltimore Ravens and they got absolutely whooped. And then flash forward to the divisional round of the playoffs, and they're this close to beating those same Ravens. They gave them a hell of a fight and almost went to the championship game with a rookie quarterback and coach, and that's unheard of. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, yeah, we can find our guy at quarterback. I'm not going to say who is or who isn't. I like a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. Like I'd say Caleb would be the top for me, but he's not even in the realm of possibility for the Broncos. And then you got JJ and Drake and Bo Nix, and everyone has their guy, but we won't know who the perfect prospect is going to be for this team. And I'm just going to root for whoever Sean Payton takes, because that's who he's going to have to ride or die with.
Yeah. Yes. We will see. I mean, I do see, you know, you guys in the chat, I do see some saying McCarthy's the guy. Some are saying May's the guy. I do see one or two Jaden Daniels in here. So, yeah, I think BK says SP likes Jaden. We'll see. You know, I mean, I think, I don't know. I think Jaden Daniels would, I'm not saying he would be, I think he's going to be a great quarterback when it's all said and done. I just don't know if he's a Peyton quarterback. But I think he can work well in this offense. Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, I think some people don't say he's a fit just because he's very similar to Lamar Jackson, where he likes to scramble and he's like run off with his legs. He's very quick. But I mean, when I've seen him step back and throw, he can throw the deep ball well. He can throw in the middle of the field. You know, he does his checks at the line. I mean, he fits the mold, I think, for the most part. But again, we will see what happens. Okay, so I know we are almost at time, so we're going to run through the chat. And before we get back to the chat, though, I know we have one more on each of our respective lists as it pertains to the player. So why don't you get to your last one briefly, and then I can get to mine as well.
Yeah, I'll keep this short and sweet. Damari Mathis, big disappointment this season. He took a major step back from his rookie campaign. He did play in every game this year, but he only started in six and got replaced by Fabian Moreau, who was a street free agent. He just looked lost over there on the outside. I don't know if it was because VJ came in or what, but he was just getting picked on. And it seems like offense has just figured him out from year one to year two. And hopefully for him, it's a sophomore slump. If not, Riley Moss is going to take his spot, or maybe another rookie who comes in, or I believe Steven Nelson, who was, I believe it was, he a Texan last year? Yeah, he's been linked to the Broncos. So if he doesn't shape up, he's going to get shipped out.
Yeah. The drop off, it's crazy. You know, that his rookie season. And again, I know he started off shaky in that rookie season, but he came around. And last year was just so disappointing. And you saw it from the first game with the Raiders. You saw just Jacoby Myers, you know, just. Yes. And. You know, I just hope he can, but you know, the team is very high on Riley Moss, Dylan, and you know, I think you can't get any worse. You know, Moss can come in and hopefully, you know, be the other outside to Surtain. But we will see. You know, if my thing is, if he doesn't cut the mustard this year, then he's gone. He's going to be Gonzo's. Well, let's see if he can turn the corner. Let's see what if he can kind of get back somewhat to the production he was providing in that first year. And my last one, to keep mine brief as well, mine, Zach Allen. So when you look at the numbers for Zach Allen, they were actually not bad. I mean, it wasn't a bad showing. They were about 38 solo tackles, tied for 11th in the NFL, 7 sacks, and a forced fumble. But I think it's the consistency with Zach Allen. And then we didn't see him really kind of take off until a little bit more than midway, kind of near to the end. That's when we start to kind of hear his name. So if he can kind of be more of that consistent pass rushing presence inside, that we know of him to be. And then, of course, with the D-line helping out, tackles penetrating that run, I think that'll kind of help the defensive line as a whole. But, you know, want to hear, kind of want more production, more consistent production from Zach Allen, for sure.
Definitely, and I hope they can get some pieces around him to take some of the pressure off him, because I think the fact that there was no one really else put in the work around him, he just kind of got picked on. And even still, like you mentioned, he had a pretty decent year. And I was one of the guys who would have rather kept Draymond Jones back when we let him go. So I was a little sour about that, but Zach Allen came in and played a much better season than Draymond had this last season. And I think that'll continue, but I just think we need more pieces on this defensive line, because he's just getting picked on. Like DJ Jones has to step up, or, you know, bring in a draft pick, or Uwazurike, if he even plays this season. I know he's cleared, but he might. Yeah, if he gets reinstated. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see there.
Yeah, and like you said, the pieces around him, and then the depth on the defensive line. And again, that's where we're hoping that the draft comes into play, because defensive line depth, like after your starters, you start wondering. You know, you're looking at the depth chart, and you're like, I don't feel too good if one of them goes down. So, yeah. And then we have one more super chat, I think I saw. I think from DTR here. $5 super chat. Thank you, DTR, for coming back in. He says, Mims has underrated speed. It takes him very little effort to get to full speed. And he takes big strides with consistent hands. He is a legit weapon. Yes. Yes, DTR. And that's one of the things you saw on tape at Oklahoma. Like, his ability to just break open. Just shoop, full speed ahead. And you're right, it also big strides. Again, we saw the speed on full force. You went back to that Washington game, Dylan, and that's the game that sticks out, where he had that phenomenal catch down the sideline. And, you know, I think off of play action, Russ hit him down the field for the touchdown. So, I mean, you see the speed at full force. Great, great hands. DTR, very good hands, very sure hands. Now, again, you know, with some of those fumbles, you know, you wish you can kind of clean up a bit. And again, there are two fumbles there. But, you know, I would say overall, I'm so glad that, you know, the Broncos selected him last year. And I'm curious to see. Again, I'm encouraged by it, and I want to see how he develops, because there's going to be a time probably within the next 2 years. You know, depending on what they do with, again, I don't see Josh Reynolds lasting. Let's just say he might be off the team in 2025. And then who knows what's going to happen with Courtland Sutton. And then what's going to happen with Tim Patrick. So, again, it's kind of developing him and molding him to kind of go up that depth chart. Again, wide receiver 3. And then hopefully he can take that step up to 2. And then, again, the Broncos have some decisions to make with that room. Probably going to be that wide receiver 1 at some point. But, yeah, I like Mims, DTR.
Yeah, thanks for the question, DTR. I totally agree with what you said. I think they just need to get the ball to him more, even if, you know, maybe a drop, or if he, you know, fumbles. You just got to be like, hey, we're going to get it back to you. Let's build up your confidence. Let's get you going. Because he is a big play receiver, and they just need to get the ball to him. Whether it's, you know, like I said before, if you even do it cutesy little trick plays as long as he doesn't fumble it. He's just got breakaway explosive speed, and he's just a guy that the Broncos need to trust going forward. And I'm looking forward to a big year two with him, and I hope it all comes out in the wash.
Yeah, hope so too. Again, very, very solid, more than solid player. But like you say, yeah, just get the ball to him more. You know, just get him downfield, get the ball to him. Let's see what happens. All right, so I know we're a little over time. I do see a few more questions I want to get to, and we're going to keep these brief, guys. But I think String Guy comes in here. Thank you. He says, Ron, did you see the Jaden Daniels elbow pick that Zach and Scott showed the other night? Yeah, I saw that floating on X. I guess it is real. I guess I was trying to figure it out as well, because it does look very photoshopped. Mm-hmm. It looked very photoshopped. But I think someone posted it, and I think Jaden Daniels responded saying that he's like, there's nothing wrong with my elbow, it's all cap. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, but
something looked really wrong there.
Yeah, something looked good. Something didn't look right at all, because the way that was, it was kind of
made my elbow
a little weird, awkward looking. But I mean, I saw his pro day, and looks like that wasn't a factor. I mean, the guy was great. You know, I saw from Jaden Daniels, it was good. He and Malik Nabers, man, they're some LSU's known to have those QBs, i.e. Joe Burrow, i.e. Jamar Chase, and i.e. Justin Jefferson. So you may see the same with this class: Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it did look a little weird. Again, I don't know kind of what to believe. I don't think it's really going to affect them that much, at least from what we saw on the pro day.
So I think we would have seen more about it if it was a real concern to this point. Right.
Yeah. All right. And then one more. And then again, thank you, String Guy, for coming in. What wideout would you like to see us get in what round? So I have two of them. And again, these are more later rounds. I'll start with my preference. If somehow they think to trade back and get one, I do like Xavier Worthy. I do like Brian Thomas Jr. Later rounds, I'm looking at, I also do like Ladd McConkey. Mm-hmm. Ladd McConkey is he's a crisp route runner. Very aware, you know, as far as, you know, just being available and catching the ball. So he would be a guy that I would also want the Broncos to target. And then my two later ones, I mentioned one earlier, Luke McCaffrey, and then Brandon Rice is also another that would do well in this offense. And I see, I don't know how late Rice will be there. Maybe fourth round. I could see Luke McCaffrey probably being fourth round. Being in the fourth round. Brandon Rice, third or fourth, I would target with him as well. But yeah, Todd, those are the ones that I would want to see the Broncos try to target in the later rounds.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Luke McCaffrey, especially. Let's get another McCaffrey mile high. I think he's got a pretty good teacher in his dad there, you know. And Xavier Leggett is another guy I really like. He's good. Yeah. Good. And one that I'll just say really quick that I like late, like sometimes day three, Cornelius Johnson out of Michigan. I think he's got a good size. Like, he's not super refined in his route running, but he's super athletic, and I think he'd be worth a shot on a day three, someone they could develop.
Yeah, those are good ones. Also, Pearsall would be a good one. I don't know, because when I look at some of the mocks, I think Some people had him going in the second round, and I guess I can see that because he is quite
talented, man.
He's very talented. Yeah. So, you know, I probably not there for the Broncos, but yeah. Well, again, if he falls, you never know. But I do see him more of a second round guy. But yeah, that's a great question, Todd. Thank you for coming in. All right, guys. Let's just kind of peruse the chat, see if we see this anyone is,
I think
else.
I found a good one here to help us close out the show.
As always, Ron coming in to help us close it out. Great show tonight, Ron and Dylan on Orange and Blue View. Go Broncos. Thank you, Mike. You know, again, I can't even, there's not even enough words. Just thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for coming in. With your comments and support, my guy. You know, we appreciate you.
Yeah, you're great every night, Michael, and you keep these shows churning for sure. And everyone else in the chat, you guys are the reason we're here.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, guys. So that will do it for this episode of the Orange and Blue View. As always, it's a great conversation. And it's even more appealing now, Dylan, that we're a little less than a month from the draft. So, you know, it's even going to be more intriguing hearing speculation, different news tidbits on what the Broncos may do. And that's why we're here. Again, our shows every night. We have an episode every night. And also, make sure you go on milehighhuddle.com. to read the content. There are articles about, you know, contract details and all the mocks that you've seen and heard about. So yeah, make sure you check that out. And if nothing else, guys, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, and share on all the platforms as well. It really helps us grow. Before we get out of here, do you have any parting words for our community, Dylan?
Yeah, great conversation as always, folks. And yeah, I'm so ready for the draft to be here. I'm sick of all the arguing in the chat, you know, about who we're gonna take. So I just want to get to arguing about whether it was the right guy or not. but yeah, I'm just excited for the draft to be here and the draft day pods and stuff. Those are always so much fun.
Oh yeah, the war rooms. Yeah, so I know more details will come out about that, but yeah, again, that night one is always, because you always want to know who that first pick is. Like, who are the Broncos going to take in round one? Well, obviously we didn't have that last year, in the past few years, because you know the whole Russell Wilson thing. But now we have a first round pick, so it's going to be exciting. Alrighty, guys. Well, again, that will do it. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you all next week. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.